Here at Free Radio, we know that the airwaves are still dominated by corporate white patriarchal capitalist culture, and we're sending a call out for women programmers who might want to get involved here at the station to apply for shows. We have a lot of openings. You can check the schedule out and see what slots are open at freakradio.org. And in the meantime, tune in, 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz.
This is Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, and I'm your guest host for my final night, Thomas Levitt, standing in for Robert. And this is 9-inch Nails, and this is Tell the Lie.
Thank you.
All right. Hello, I am here on Thursday night.
Manning the boards and playing with the controls to make sure I don't overmodulate everything. This is my last night hosting the show, at least, unless the city council goes ahead, as it almost never does. It's a very, very normal tactic of the city and the police department to arrest someone, to drag them through the courts, requiring several appearances, but then to drop the charges or to negotiate something radically reduced at the last minute. Because they know that, you know, their original contention was completely bogus. So, but that may not be the case in this matter. It may be that they're actually going to try and drag Robert to trial. Although, there's some indication that there might be some room for negotiation of more constitutional regulations and rules for conduct at the city council meeting, because the existing rules are unquestionably, patently unconstitutional infringements upon the First Amendment. So what are we going to do tonight? Well, we're going to talk about various things. I'm going to read some PSAs. I'm going to play some more music. I have Johnny Cash and some more from the Workers Union album, and as well as some more Judy Berry, and maybe something from the soundtrack of Mandela. It's only 2 hours, so there's a lot to cram in here. There's various public service announcements, and of course there's also a recap of what happened on Tuesday. If you were there, since unfortunately I wasn't, is I have this unfortunate an inconvenient need to actually earn a living, which in Santa Cruz involves not really having a real job in most cases. Most of the people I know could not be described as 9-to-5 types. They kind of scramble and assemble a living from one place and then another and then another, and they have an idea and they're starting a new career or a new business or a new job or God knows what, but somehow or other they manage to survive. Although, in many cases, of course, survival is a moral victory, so to speak. Not quite at the same level of stature as it might be in the, or end results as it might be elsewhere. Anyway, if you have comments or concerns or if there's anything you want to say, call in at 831-427-3772, and I will do my best to actually get you on the air. I think I've pretty much figured out most of this stuff, and I'm even fairly confident about the turntable. So I'm actually going to try and get some Johnny Cash on in just a minute. But first, we have a PSA here. And this is for tomorrow, actually. This is from the Santa Cruz Progressive email list. As you recall, I was talking about that last time I was on the air on Sunday. And I did manage to make it on Sunday, and now I've managed to make it on Thursday for my third of the fourth show. 3 out of 4 isn't bad, right? Right, okay. All right, you're invited to come and see a video on how volunteers paved the way for Biloxi, Mississippi residents to return home after Hurricane Katrina. That's a good thing to remember, that for whatever national shame is incumbent upon us as the result of what happened in New Orleans, that wasn't the only area that got creamed by Katrina and the Bush regime. The video provides one person's perspective of the key role grassroots efforts play in the reconstruction. Get behind the scenes and quote-unquote participate in the cleanup efforts alongside these volunteers. Happens on Friday, January 13th, 2006 at 7 o'clock at the De Anza Clubhouse, 2395 Delaware Avenue at the end of Delaware. There's no admission charge. The videographer is Matilda Rand, who recently returned from Biloxi on her volunteer stint, and she'll be on hand for a post-video discussion. You know, one of the tragedies about the eventual elimination of the mobile home parks from our community, or at least affordability thereof, is the fact that these often do actually serve as centers of community. And for example, just here, their clubhouse, I can't tell you how many times I've seen events of interest to the community being hosted there. All right. So one of the items I wanted to discuss is an article that was recently forwarded to me from a Green Party list about the antics of Costa Mesa Mayor Alan Mansour trashing the First Amendment and immigration crackdown. And this is all about the conduct of the mayor and his how he runs his city council meetings. This is from the Orange County Organizer, Organizing the Community for a Better Working and Living Environment. It's ocorganizer.com/html/monsoor.html. Costa Mesa Mayor Alan Mansour believes that America is a nation of laws. That's why, he says, the city's police should be first in the nation to help directly deport quote-unquote illegal aliens. But conduct by Mansour at two recent Costa Mesa council meetings, revealed on video logs from two separate sources, raises questions about his ability to correctly and impartially uphold the law, including basic First Amendment rights. Recent incidents also demand an examination of the constitutionality of Costa Mesa municipal codes related to public speech. Does this sound familiar? Mansour sparked chaos during the public comment session of the January 3rd Costa Mesa City Council meeting, where about 80 immigrant rights supporters versus 40 supporters of the recent closure of the city's Immigrant Labor Center and its new immigration law enforcement policy had converged for debate. But of the total number of speakers on the subject of the city's immigration policies, 18 were supportive of the mayor, 1 took the middle ground, and only 9 were opposed. Scores of people who were opposed to the mayor were not allowed to speak, and many tried, but were not allowed to enter the council chambers. Mansour abruptly told immigrants rights activist, and I don't know how to quite pronounce this, Coyotli Tezcalipoca, that his speaking time was up and adjourned the meeting. How familiar. Tezcalipoca was pushed out of the council chambers by police officers and was later charged with resisting a police officer and violating city codes by unlawfully addressing the city council on disorderliness. Sound familiar? Referring to Tezcalipoca, Chief of Police John Hensley told the Daily Pilot that the individual's time was up. He was asked to step away from the podium. He got angry and refused to follow the instructions of the officers. A report by Orange County Register reporter Brian Martinez stated that Tezcalipoca strongly resisted before officers dragged him out. Martinez was sitting in the front row of the council chambers. But Dwayne Roberts, who was standing close to the incident and who acted as liaison between police and protesters that night, told the OCO that Tezcalipoca was violently pushed out of the council chambers by police. At no time do I recall seeing Coyotli resist arrest. Video records of the conflict show that Tezcalipoca's time was not up, that resistance was absent or minimal, and that he did not engage in disorderly conduct while the council meeting was in session. Other video clips from the January 3rd and December 6th City Council meetings show that Mansour applies one standard of conduct to his supporters and another to his critics. How familiar. City's online video of the January 3rd meeting reveals the following sequence. Speaking from the podium, Tezcalipoca demands that the city withdraw from a proposed agreement with Immigration and Customs Enforcement branch of the federal government and accuses the council members who voted for it and for the recent closure of the city's Labor Center for Immigrants and of gentrification by removing Latino immigrants from Costa Mesa. We know that you guys want to change the demographics of Costa Mesa, he says. We know your plot. We are going to be here and we're going to fight this out to the end. We're not going to let this pass. Tezcatlipoca then asked for members of the audience who agree with him to stand, but the mayor interrupts him. No, I'm not going to do that, Tezcatlipoca, to the audience. Do it, do it, do it. Then at 2 minutes and 18 seconds into Tezcatlipoca's speech, Mayor Munster closes the meeting. You know, we're going to call for a break here. As a matter of fact, Tezcatlipoca, unintelligible. Mayor, his sick time is up, sir. Tezcatlipoca talking at the same time as the mayor. Why are you talking then? Mayor, it's time for a public hearing. We're going to call for a break here. At this point, the city's camera turns to the mayor, where it remains. Now, that's also familiar. Most of the time, it actually turns off here when we get to this point. When we return, we'll be starting with our public hearing. I'm not finished, says Tezcatlipoca. Per ordinance, to conduct public hearings at 7 o'clock, thank you. City's video turns off the regular sound, plays background music instead. The ordinance that Munster refers to is actually a city council resolution, but it doesn't require public hearings to start at 7 p.m. Instead, resolution 05-55 says that public hearings shall start no earlier, quote-unquote, than 7 p.m., but as close as possible to 7 p.m. According to a reading of the timestamp on the city's video, Munster had cut Tezcatlipoca's meetings after 58 minutes and 21 seconds from the start of the council meeting. If the meeting started at 6 p.m. as planned, Tezcatlipoca could have been given his final 21 seconds of speech without running into overtime. In any case, the mayor is not obligated to start public hearings at 7 p.m. Okay, I am going to try and see if maybe, because I can't see two things at once, if I can actually make the phone ring so that I know when it's ringing instead of just seeing the little lights. So hold on a moment. And in fact, why don't we listen to some music from Mandela? And then I'll return to speaking.
love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
All right, that was Johnny Cash. And I apologize if I overmodulate because I get overexcited. And so I'm going to try and pay more attention to that. All right. This is, again, another PSA from the Santa Cruz Progressive email list. And, yes, the phones were actually already set up so that I could actually hear what when people were calling in. So that's good. All right. The Death Penalty Focus Group will hold a vigil this evening of the execution of Clarence Ray Allen at a new time. This is from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Town Clock, Santa Cruz, Monday, January the 16th. That's next Monday. They're going to kill another human being. The state-sanctioned murder execution. He's 75 years old, diabetic, and recently had a heart attack. He'll be the oldest person who's actually been executed, and I think, in pretty much in any state in like 40 years or something like that. You know, and what socially beneficial purpose will be served by killing a pretty much a crippled 75-year-old man? I'm not quite sure, no matter what his crimes were. If anyone wants to carpool to San Quentin or for more information about this event, contact Marilyn Strayer, Marilyn S. MARILYNS at cruzio.com or 429-1765. The San Quentin State Prison Rally and Vigil will begin at 8 o'clock in the east gate of San Quentin. You can park on Francisco Boulevard East, but expect to walk 1 to 2 miles to get to the east gate of San Quentin. Dressed warmly and bring a flashlight. Contact Stephanie at deathpenalty.org or 415-243-0143 if you want to actually go to the event in San Francisco at San Quentin. Otherwise, you can show up at the Town Clock from 5 to 7 p.m. All right. So we heard Johnny Cash and the Ring of Fire. And before that, we heard a selection from Mandela. And hold on while I pull up a little thingamajiggy so I can make a note of what I've been doing. Okay, what next? I'll read some more from the article because it's very illuminating, at least from my perspective. If you're bored, call in and say you're bored. All right. So, again, so we're talking about the city of Costa Mesa, the mayor, and how he conducts his meetings, and what effect on the First Amendment his conduct has, and how he engages in selective enforcement and treats his supporters one way and his opponents another way. All right. So if the meeting started at 6 p.m. as planned, Tez Kalapoka could have given his final 21 seconds of speech without running into overtime. In any case, the mayor is not obligated to start public hearings at 7 p.m., unless, of course, someone is inconveniently speaking, and then, of course, it must happen as soon as possible, right? Unlike the city's video record, a video clip published on www.immigrationwatchdog.com includes the entire incident until Tez Kalapoka was forced out the council chamber door. That account clearly shows there is absolutely no quote-unquote disorderly conduct from Tez Kalapoka when the council is in session, and strongly suggests that he offered little or no physical resistance to officers at any time prior to being taken outside. Again, this is at http://www.ocorganizer.com/html/mansoor.html. It's also available on the Huff Yahoo group, which you can get to by going to www.huffsantacruz.org, clicking on the Yahoo groups, going to the Yahoo group, and then clicking on the little Huff link at the top. And that will take you to what the individual who started the group decided should be our new URL, which I'm not going to actually try and, like, spell out over the Internet, because I only just go to groups, yahoo.com, group, Huff, and then click there to get to it. All right. Video shows that one of the several officers to surround Tez Kalapoka during the incident places his hand on him as if to lead him off the podium. Tez Kalapoka then talks to the officers but doesn't immediately leave. An officer then pushes the microphone away from Tez Kalapoka's face. Next, Tez Kalapoka apparently walks, apparently limping several times, with officers towards the door. Suddenly, he says something to one of the police officers, apparently wanting to pick up his speech copy that he had left on the podium. The officer starts back to grab the paper, but Tez Kalapoka gets there and angrily picks it up first. He starts to turn back towards the door. The officer facing him attempts to physically escort him, but Tez Kalapoka lifts his arm and is soon heard saying several times, "Don't touch me," while also gesturing towards the door, possibly to say he can walk on his own. Police Chief Hensley approaches and, according to one close by witness, orders the officers to take Tez Kalapoka off outside. Two officers immediately grab him, one taking him by the back of his neck, the other by the arm, and quickly force him out the door. Pandemonium breaks out in the council chambers. And can you see exactly when pandemonium breaks out, when the council meeting is disrupted? I think you can, and it's not when the individual in question is at the podium. It's when the individual at the head of the meeting, or the police officer in this case, the police chief, takes action against the activist speaking. One woman yells repeatedly to Monsieur that he is a racist. Another loudly and histrionically sings, "We shall overcome." Then a group of the mayor's supporters break into an equally offensive rendition of "God Bless America." Oh, my God. Wonderful. It's much less clear what happened on the outside. Several people claim to have seen a Spanish-language news network video showing police kicking Tez Kalapoka. Several clips seen by this writer show Tez Kalapoka being choked and dragged along the ground and into an adjacent building. One officer is seen sitting on him while another drags both Tez Kalapoka and the officer along the floor. All this occurred under the watchful eye of a rather large and very angry crowd of Tez Kalapoka's supporters. One officer who I saw directly had a look of near panic on his face as he looked into the crowd, which was yelling, "Why did you hit him?" And there's some audio. Tez Kalapoka has declined to comment about the incident for the record, pending consultation with his attorney. Now we get to special treatment for the Minuteman. There is nothing in the Costa Mesa Municipal Code that specifically prohibits a speaker from addressing the audience or precludes audience members standing as an expression of speech. But both the ImmigrationWatch.com and City Videos indicate that the chaos was triggered by Monsieur's objection to Tez Kalapoka's request that audience members stand up to show solidarity. Yet earlier in the same council meeting, Monser thanked Minutemen co-founder Jim Gilchrist, who's like this insane right-wing lunatic who ran for Congress on the American Independent Party ticket last election, in a special election, I think it was. Yes, it was a special election. The American Independent Party is the remnants in California of George Wallace's run for racist run for president in 1968. And has only managed to stay on the ballot because a lot of people get confused about that registering as an American independent means that you are being independent. No, it means that you're standing with the inheritors of George Wallace and the racist American Independent Party of 1968. So the mayor, Monser, thanked Minutemen co-founder Jim Gilchrist, who supports the ICE proposal, and gave high praise to the mayor and other council members after his supporters rose and sat back down. Gilchrist. My name is Jim Gilchrist. I'm the founder of the Minutemen Project. At the end of my speech, I'm going to ask all the members of the Minutemen Project and their supporters to stand up rather than applaud and make a lot of noise. Okay, will you stand up? Mayor, actually, thank you. I appreciate that. Register reporter Brian Martinez claimed that in an interview with the mayor and a review of video footage, quote-unquote, revealed that he, Monser, started to tell the Minutemen to stop standing and then cut his sentence short when they sat down quickly. But the video footage fails to back that interpretation, and although Monser interrupted Gilchrist, he did so to praise him and to clarify whether he would be speaking for others in this group, not to admonish him as he did Tez Kalapoka. So the old white guy, the old racist white guy, gets treated with deference and respect, and the young Latino gets hauled out of the city council and dragged around and basically apparently gets the crap beaten out of him. Ain't that wonderful? Further evidence of the mayor's bias in enforcing rules can be seen in the city's video record of public comments for the December 6th city council meeting. On the same night that the mayor introduced his ICE proposal, a special election in the 48th Congressional District, in which Gilchrist was a candidate and illegal immigration was the main issue, took place. When a woman opposed to the proposal asked audience members to stand, the mayor interrupted with, "If you could please keep your comments to the council, please." Was the mayor disorderly? Monser may have himself violated Costa Mesa's Municipal Code, Section 2-60, regarding propriety of conduct of council members, states that members of the council shall not, by disorderly, insolent, or disturbing action, speech, or otherwise, substantially delay, interrupt, or disturb the proceedings of the council. Clearly, Monser's arbitrary actions January 6th created the very situation that the city codes are meant to prevent. And I'm sure we can think of several other examples locally where the mayor's actual arbitrary actions created exactly what they were allegedly attempting to prevent. January 3rd wasn't the first time that Monser cut off Tez Kalapoka's speaking time and caused disruption of a city council meeting. At the December 6th meeting, Monser got upset when Tez Kalapoka called him a racist pig. "Mayor, sir, if you would please stop with the Tez Kalapoka, I'm calling things the way they are, and you are a racist pig, and that's it. If you're going to get out of line, we're going to ask you to leave. Tez Kalapoka, you're out of line, 23 million of my people. Sir, if you don't stop now, police officer, your time is up. Mayor, your time is up. Tez Kalapoka, it's not up. Mayor, at 1 minute 45 seconds into the 3 minute speaking period, your time is up and we're going to take a break. Tez Kalapoka, are you going to let me finish or not? You fucking racist pig. We'll take a break, please." City codes versus First Amendment. Now, this is directly applicable to the lawsuit and question of whether or not the code of conduct of the Santa Cruz City Council is constitutional. City codes versus First Amendment. Munster's interpretation of city codes and parts of the codes themselves probably violate the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The relevant facts are well explained in an article by David L. Hudson, Jr., a research attorney for the First Amendment Center. Hudson says, and there's a link to this in this article that I've said before, and a link to this article that I'm reading and this other article, the one by David Hudson, will be on the Huff website shortly. Hudson says that the court rulings give government officials considerable latitude for maintaining order at public meetings. City officials may regulate subject matter, repetition, time limits, or any behavior that seriously violates rules of procedure that the council has established to govern conduct at its meetings, according to 2001 federal court rulings. But those rules cannot apply to some speakers and not others, and they must be consistent and content neutral. A speaker cannot be silenced because of his viewpoints, and personal attacks may not be prohibited, which means that Tez Kalapoka was probably within his rights to call the mayor a racist pig, and that Costa Mesa's prohibition of, now this does sound familiar, prohibition of personal, impertinent, profane, insolent, or slanderous remarks sits on shaky constitutional ground. Sounds very familiar. In essence, says Hudson, the government must live up to the values embodied in the First Amendment. Tez Kalapoka and other protesters have vowed to return to future city council meetings until the city's day labor center is reopened and the ICE proposal is rescinded. Tez Kalapoka will appear at the Harbor Justice Center for arraignment on February 3rd at 8:30 a.m. If you have any opinions about this, you can email Mayor Alan Munsor at amansoor@ci.costa-mesa.ca.us. That's costa-mesa.ca.us. ci.costa-mesa.ca.us. It'll be on the website. All right. So, you know, maybe Robert isn't so bad, comparatively speaking. All right, so I'm going to try something else. This is an experiment, and we'll see how this goes. So, hold on a moment. Let's see. Yeah, I'll serenade you with some more Nine Inch Nails while I set this up. Here we go.
Will lay hands on the world order and say of war, this way of settling differences is not just. This business of burning human beings with napalm, filling our nation's homes and with orphans and widows, of injecting poisonous drugs of hate into the veins of peoples normally humane, sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, cannot be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Don't let anybody make you think God chose America as his divine messianic force to be. Thought a policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power, and I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. I call on Washington today. I call on every man and woman of goodwill all over America today. I call on the young men of America who must make a choice today. Take a stand on this issue. Tomorrow may be too late. The book may close. And I don't know about you, I ain't gonna study war no more.
All right, and those are the words of Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Those come off the Code Pink website. That's the audio stream to a rather cool flash video, which of course is the video component of it is overwhelmed in its impact by the power of Martin Luther King Jr.'s voice. It's at www.womensaynotowar.org/article.php ?ID=719. You can also get to it by going to www.seeingtheforest.com, which is a website that I write for periodically and intermittently. It's the second article down from the top called Martin Luther King Jr. Speaks on the War of Iraq, courtesy of Code Pink. And I want to read off a little bit about what I said there. Where is the Martin Luther King Jr. of today? Why is the greatest moral authority on the conduct of this war a voice 40 years out of the past? Has the stature of our leaders diminished so much then, or their courage? Something is very wrong here when we as a movement have no choice but to reach back to iconic figures like Martin Luther King Jr. to get our message across with any moral authority. Has the mainstream media have so stifled alternative voices that none have had a chance to develop the same stature? I need to edit this. No one has had a chance to develop the same stature. Is that the answer? Or could it be that perhaps no one in today's establishment has determined that permitting someone to achieve the same level of recognition and moral authority suits their political convenience? Has the right wing really crippled our ability to develop and communicate our message so badly that even our most prominent voices are folks known only to a few? Who in the anti-war movement qualifies as a household name? And really, if you think about that, who does? I mean, who's the first person that comes to your mind when you think of the anti-war movement? In my case, that's Medea Benjamin. But she could hardly be seen as like a household name. Probably most people would go, who? Same with like Michael Franti or any of the real voices. They're each followed by a narrow segment of the population. Or are we ourselves in the anti-war movement doing something wrong? Or is it that we are just lesser men and women than our predecessors? What am I missing here? Why is this the case? Why is Martin Luther King speaking about Vietnam the most compelling voice that we can think of to speak about the war in Iraq? That just doesn't make any sense to me. All right, so that was my little experiment playing some online audio. Now, let's go and flip over and talk about what happened at the city council meeting. This is from the Sentinel. A crowd of outraged residents poured into the city council chamber Tuesday to demand more information about undercover police surveillance of planning meetings for a grassroots New Year's Eve parade. The police chief and American Civil Liberties Union have also have joined the search for answers as to why two police officers hid their identities at three planning sessions for the last night parade. The parade went off without a hitch, but police who have acknowledged their presence said they attended the meetings to ensure public safety, not to spy. An internal investigation has been launched, Chief Howard Scarry said Tuesday. The city's police auditor, Palo Alto Attorney Robert Aronson, said Tuesday the department is examining the use of such surveillance. Nothing against Robert Aronson, but that's got to be the like most ludicrous waste of $30,000 a year. You can imagine the paying for the police auditor of his position. As far as I can tell, the actual output, what's been produced as a result of that expenditure, is none. I read his contract back a while back. Robert was kind enough to supply me with it, and apparently Robert Aronson was supposed to produce a written report 6 months into his term, and so far as I could tell, that was never produced. And I'd be very interested if anyone could point me to any written documents or other substantive communications of note that the city's police auditor has actually supplied to the public or the city council. About 70 people rallied outside City Hall on Tuesday. I was shocked to hear what had happened, former Mayor Celia Scott said before the council meeting. I didn't know that could happen in our community. Protesters asked council members and police to reveal what information officers had gathered. Parade planner Wes Modes, a Felton artist in Carpenter, who also goes by the name Rico Thunder, said he wants assurance residents will not be spied up on again. The issue was not on the council members, but not on the council agenda, because it wasn't an emergency. But at least two members expressed concern. Council member Mike Rotkin said he will ask the city's public safety committee to discuss the issue after the department's internal review. The Public Safety Committee consists of three members of the City Council, and it's the city's rubber stamp, City Council's rubber stamp replacement, since it's the City Council itself that serves as the committee, for the Citizens Police Review Board that the Progressive City Council axed as a budgetary measure. Councilman Tim Fitzmaurice had questions about police policy. Planning meetings were advertised on the web and held in private homes. Organizers say that the plainclothes officers posed as interested citizens and gave false information to hide their identities. Attorney Mark Schlossberg of the ACLU said Tuesday he plans to file a Public Records Act request to probe a possible violation of privacy rights. You know, Robert files those all the time, and I'll be quite curious to see how much more attention and timeliness Attorney Mark Schlossberg's request gets versus, say, Robert's. The state constitution guarantees the right to privacy from, quote, unwarranted government intrusion in the absence of a reasonable suspicion of a crime, he said. And aside from a common sense and practical respect for the community standpoint, it doesn't make sense, he said. If they want to have a cooperative approach and foster good relations, then they should talk to them and be honest and upfront. Tuesday, several activists spoke to the council and held signs with phrases such as, "Who would Jesus, Gandhi, or Martin Luther King Jr. spy on?" and "Thou shalt not spy." Rally organizer Sherry Connable said she was outraged by the officer's conduct, and she was almost as outraged by the response from the city council. "I have yet to hear one councilman say that this was unacceptable," said Connable, a massage therapist and longtime activist. yes. Well, you know, we've yet to hear one city council person say all sorts of things that we'd love to hear them say. And if you don't like that, well, you know, you can go find yourself a candidate for city council and run them, and then at least there'll be one voice on the city council that has the temerity to actually raise questions and challenge assumptions and say, you know, here's a line that we're going to draw and we're not going to go any further, or at least that's how we should go. Chief Scarry said personal regulations prevent him from discussing the issue. Scarry said he was unsure how long the investigation would take. He estimated 18 to 22 internal investigations are conducted annually. Police Auditor Aronson, who replaced the Citizens Review Board, said the investigation may or may not focus on individual officers. Any disciplinary action would be confidential. I think pretty universally everyone agrees that this is something that merits an investigation, and my assumption is that part of what is to be looked at is whether or not the decisions were appropriate. So here, again, what's going to happen is the police department is going to investigate itself, and the city council is going to evaluate, I guess, whatever the internal investigation is, if they even do that. And nobody's going to know if anything happened. And, you know, so there's obviously a great disincentive to repeat this behavior, right? Few departments in the state have definitive surveillance policies, Aronson said. It's often a quote-unquote judgment call. The last night website characterized the event as a parade of ordinary folks, freaks, clowns, moms, dad, kids, and music. Last night was pretty low-key as far as activism mode said, but I want to know what motivated police officers concerned to infiltrate, and there are other people in town who want concrete assurances that they haven't been spied on. Yes, that is the open question, is whether or not there's other undercover police officers wandering around Santa Cruz's progressive meetings and movements and other events, taking notes and, you know, assuring themselves that nobody is preparing to engage in any unsavory activities, such as walking down the street. Staff writer Shannon McCord contributed to this report. It was written by Kathy Smith. That's what the Sentinel had to say. And the Indy Media says that 100 Santa Cruzans showed up, and it's got audio, and let's see. It said, protesters included former mayors, the ACLU artists, peaceniks, high school students, UCSC students against war members that were recently spied upon by the Pentagon, and a local man who fled fascist Czechoslovakia. Yes, this is not the only incident of spying or of marking nonviolent public organizers as threats. Actually, let's see if I can do this. See if I can see what Mayor Cynthia Matthews has to say.
Okay. And I state that although it was perfectly appropriate for representatives of the police department to attend that meeting, there have been legitimate questions raised about certain aspects of what took place. And I want to let the public know that the chief of police has opened an internal investigation, an internal affairs investigation into these issues. At the conclusion of that process, a report will be made to the City Council's Public Safety Committee, which will report to the City Council as a whole. And because the investigation is underway at this time, we are not going to comment further.
All right. We are not going to comment further because the investigation is underway at this time. All right. If you've got any comment upon what happened, if you were at the city council meeting, please pipe up, call in, because, I mean, you certainly have got to be bored senseless with hearing from no one but me by this point. And let's see. While I think of what to do next, why don't we play some Mandela? Freak Radio Santa Cruz desperately needs donations. Make checks payable to FRSC. Mail to P.O. Box 7507 Santa Cruz, California 95061. You can make PayPal donations at www.freakradio.org. FreakRadio.org. And if you want to call in, it's 427-3772. 831-427-3772. Call in if you've got any comments about that or anything else. And let's see what we're going to do now. We're going to try and play some Judy Berry. The FBI stole my fiddle.
They said the reason they knew that the bomb was in the back seat where we could have seen it rather than hidden under my seat, as it actually was, is because they said that I had loaded my guitar case right on top of the bomb, and they said the guitar and the fiddle were both, like, right in the vicinity of the explosion. So lo and behold, we get back the pictures from the Oakland police, and here's the guitar. Now, it's certainly damaged, but not as if a bomb had been on top of it, and there's the fiddle. Virtually intact, okay? And I want you to know, I've actually seen these things in the course of the case. We get to, like, look at the evidence, and it's actually really kind of sad. This was my childhood violin, and I opened the case, and it only had two cracks up the F-holes, and that's all. Whereas the guitar, which was in a cheap case, was kind of shattered. But at any rate, so in light of this, realizing that they took this fiddle, we wrote this song.
I was driving out of Oakland on a tour for Redwood Summer when a bomb went off inside my car. It was a major bummer. They blamed me for the bomb that almost took my life. But there's one last thing that they did, one last twist of the knife. The FBI stole my fiddle.
They stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole
sing along.
My fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle. Next day in the paper. evidence. They took away my Birkenstocks. They took away my car. But when they took my fiddle, well, you know they went too far. The FBI stole my fiddle.
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 William Sessions stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. They said my strings was fuses. My bow, it was a lie. And down inside my fiddle hole, I stashed my dynamite. But when I stroke my fuse string with my fiddle bow, you better run for cover, cause this fiddle might just blow. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
Stole my fiddle.
J. Edgar Hoover stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. Special Agent Richard Held is the man behind the show. He helped frame Leonard Peltier and jail Geronimo. He falsified the evidence, life sentences, no bail. It's time to get them freed and let's put Richard Held in jail. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
Richard Held stole my fiddle.
All right, that was Judy Berry from the album Who Bombed Judy Berry? Judy Berry is spoken word with music too. And now I'm going to try and play some Johnny Cash. It might take a few seconds to actually come online. We'll see how this works.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
All right, that was Johnny Cash, I Walked a Line, and that was me adjusting the microphone, and that seemed to work relatively well. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how to cue these things up and stuff. All right, 427-3772. Maybe I need to say something controversial, although I don't know. What could I say that would be really controversial? Hey, if you got a suggestion, call in. I can't imagine it would be controversial to suggest that we throw the bums out and de-elect all of the city council. Or at least replace some of the more, obnoxious elements with some more vocally and assertively progressive elements that might give the other remaining members more political cover, courage, spine. I don't know. There's this phenomenon that people have told me they've observed. And in fact, you know, I myself has observed as well that the closer you get to actually being on the city council, the less vocal and less activist you get, and when you get on the city council, your politics suddenly dramatically change. Allegedly, this is because all of a sudden you're, oh my God, responsible. And then as soon as you get off the city council, you feel free again. Or if you're destined to go off the city council, well, you have nothing to lose. So then you're more unrestrained. Now we have a caller. Let's see if they want to go on the air. Thomas speaking. Hey, do you want to go on the air? Okay, hold on. Hello, caller. Do we have you on the air? Oh, wait. Actually, we need to put you on the air, too. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to try and demodulate you, since people pointed out. All right, speak up.
Well, you know, Thomas, I have to say, I really am disappointed with the meeting the other night, and when the mayor, Matthews, came out and started laying out the agenda. I don't know, man, it seemed really fascist, and, you know, and it hasn't changed with, you know, this whole cutting back public comment. You know, I mean, they walked out of there at 10 o'clock last night, you know, and all this bullshit about, you know, they can't let any more speakers talk, you know, when she's like, oh, well, we got room for like one or two more speakers. And so, you know what? I was like so angry. I just decided to give my 2 minutes up to Louis LaFortune because I was so angry. But see, even that, now all of a sudden, you can't have 3 minutes at the microphone anymore. You can only have two. You know, well, I can say one thing. Tony got some nice new chrome rims and nice tires for that new brand new Lexus that he's driving. but I'm pretty angry about it, and they are going to be hearing from me. And by God, you know, if I have to get up to that microphone by myself and confront some of these council members, I will. And if Mr. Rockin tries to interrupt me, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to, like, put him in his place because I don't like the way things are going already. And here it's only been our first council meeting of the new year.
All right. Well, you know, I'd recommend bringing a few friends along to preferably with microphones and video cameras.
Oh, I have that all covered. Oh, I have that little part of it covered. That you know, that's all taken care of. And, you know, yeah, these people, we need to make some adjustments on the city council and the county board of supervisors. And I hope the listeners hear this because I'm having a lot of problems, you know, being disabled, and I'm starting to meet more and more disabled people that are having a lot of problems with the abuses and the atrocities that are going on at the health clinic up there, and I'm trying to get the word out to people to please call the County Board of Supervisors at 454-2200 to ask them to move the time of oral communication up later than 9 a.m. And because they do the same thing kind of as the city council. In fact, this last Tuesday morning's meeting, the meeting started at 9, and they're all up and walking out of there at 10:20 a.m. And yet they can't do oral communication a little later, perhaps 10:30 or 11 a.m., when some of us disabled people can get up to the microphone and speak. See, I have to kind of start with there because I have to get in there and address them and get more help, you know, from my third district supervisor, and I've got to get the proper treatment for my pain so that I can participate more in some of these issues that are going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm doing what I can from, like, laying on my bed all the time. You know, I'm on the telephone a lot. I call the White House a lot. I've, you know, called some of these politicians. But, if you know, if I could get the proper pain treatment for my pain and function a bit better, I could probably do a whole lot more. And so, you know, just today I had my doctor's appointment, and I met this guy that has full-blown AIDS and is feeling so bad. And all, you know, his doctor, which used to be one of my former doctors, is just being a bitch and just, you know, being a total bitch and won't even treat him right. And, you know, and so all this stuff's going on too. So I hope people call into the board and try to get them to get the clerk to put pressure on that county board of supervisors of ours, because I'm kind of angry with them also, as well as the city council. But I'm going to go ahead and hang up so that maybe some other callers can call in. So probably talk to you again on Sunday.
All right.
Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, city, County Board of Supervisors meets at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. Kind of inconvenient if you're a working person. If you want to speak to the council, County Board of Supervisors about anything, or if you want to speak to them about something that's not on the agenda, well, you've got to be there at 9 o'clock. But at least so far as I know, they're pretty consistent about keeping it at 9 o'clock, and they don't reschedule it for a time uncertain. All right, I'm going to read a couple of PSAs, public service announcements. We got another 40 minutes to go here together, and I will probably at some point also try and queue up another side from the Workers' Union album. So I've been playing that for the last three shows. Or last two shows, and this is the third. All right. Brothers Teaching Brothers presents a celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. As we honor the messenger, we serve the message. Santa Cruz, California, Monday, January 16th, 2006. The Martin Luther King Celebration Day event. Yes, Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You know, and if there's any one holiday that represents the spirit of progressive activism, civil rights, civil liberties, and justice, it's Martin Luther King Day. This is also the holiday that, of course, so many people take so unseriously, which I think is unfortunate because, as we heard earlier today, Martin Luther King's voice is quite prophetic, and it's as powerful and relevant today as it was 40 years ago. And I doubt you can find many politicians from that era, say Spiro Agnew or Richard Nixon or Hubert Humphrey or Lyndon Bryan Johnson, any of those folks, anywhere near as timely and relevant as Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Celebration Day event will begin 12 noon with a People's Freedom Rally at the city's town clock. So that's 12 noon, People's Freedom Rally, town clock. At 1 p.m. there will be a remembrance march from the clock tower to the Veterans Memorial Building on 846 Front Street, Santa Cruz, California. Not a very long march. Following the march, a celebration service will commence at Vets Hall and consist of soul food, music, and a panel of speakers. Guest speakers will address critical movement issues concerning the past, present, and future. Where have we been, where are we now, and where are we going? Please join us and enjoy a Martin Luther King celebration of community and a renewal to the commitments and principles that was his life. For more information, Curtis Relliford, Chairman, BTB, 831-246-4240. There is a destiny that marks us as brothers. No one goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back to our own. Brothers Teaching Brothers is a local African-American community development support group. We believe that through our organizational efforts, we can help our community and ourselves. That's also off the Santa Cruz Progressive email list. Great resource. All right, and we have another one. This is from Pajaro Primero, Stop Walmart. Dear Thomas Levitt, Pajaro Primero, Alliance for Good Jobs and Healthy Neighborhoods. Alianza para Trabajos Buenos y Vecindarios Sanos. Community meeting, Pajaro Primero, Monday, January 23rd, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., 250 Salinas Road in Pajaro, Pajaro Middle School. Aromas Canvassing, Saturday, 1:28, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., report on area screenings of Walmart, the high cost of low price, community organizing, politics and planning, the real deal on Walmart. A Walmart in Pajaro threatens hundreds of high-paying local union retail jobs, like those at Safeway, for example. And Safeway is busy doing everything they possibly can to break down their unions. That was part of what happened in Southern California and what almost happened here up in Northern California. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, union supermarket workers like those at Albertsons and Nob Hill make 30% more than those at non-union jobs. Walmart's last community report showed 48% turnover. I shop at Albertsons, and I'm glad to have union workers there, even though clearly their level of leverage with the company is vastly less than what it used to be. Do you remember? I have this like totally irrational memory of as a child accompanying my parents to the supermarket and actually seeing like checkers at almost every aisle and baggers, people actually bagging things for the checkers. You know, I wonder when that changed, because I go in there and I see my checker and she's a nice lady. You know, I go in there several times a week because it's right across from my house and office, and it's very convenient, so I do my shopping in little increments. And she's wearing a wrist brace, and she's hauling across, like, gallons of milk and, you know, other large and heavy objects, and then she's bagging everything herself while there's, like, you know, 10 people in line. The other day I went in there, and there was two checkers active, and there was, like, 15 to 20 people in line. And, you know, you're wondering why they can't afford to have another checker. And then you look into the produce section, and there's this giant LCD TV blathering Albertsons TV or some such nonsense. And I look at that, and I go, God, that must have cost thousands of dollars. And nobody's watching it. It's the silliest idea imaginable. Walmart, quote-unquote, health plan fails to cover over 600,000 employees. If Walmart does not provide insurance for 48% of their employees, our hospitals and emergency rooms will be flooded with the uninsured. Well, we already know that the hospitals and emergency rooms in this area, especially the public ones, are really stressed, under-equipped and understaffed and underfunded. And all this is going to do is complicate that even further. Walmart kills small-town local businesses. According to Iowa State University, a 3% spike in total retail sales in small communities is then followed by a sharp decrease in revenue for local stores. For example, men and boys' apparel dropped 44% on average, hardware fell 31%, and lawn and garden lost 26%. Well, you know, if there is a local clothing store that you shop at, they're likely to disappear. If there's a locally owned lawn and garden shop, they're likely to disappear too. Although, you know, personally, since I don't own a home, I don't know how many of those are left. I don't know how many local hardware shops are left either. Walmart abuses immigrants and the law. In March 2005, Walmart agreed to pay $11 million to settle federal allegations that it used immigrant labor in its stores. That really means, you know, undocumented workers. Since 1997, federal authorities have uncovered the cases of at least 250 undocumented immigrants who were employed by janitorial companies and hired by Walmart in 21 states. That is a standard maneuver. Hey, and then let's see, what else do we have here? Those who worked nights were often locked in the store until the morning. How gothic. Walmart to create traffic hell in Pajaro. Walmart has yet to offer any solution how it would remedy an already dangerous Salinas Road / Route 1 interchange. Trucks from distribution centers delivering to Walmart would make life unbearable for our town's children. You can email Pajaro Primero, Pajaro Primero, at mbclc.org. That's Monterey Bay Central Labor Council website. Pajaro Primero at mbclc.org. Or you can phone 633-1869-X11. Or you can go to the www.mbclc.org. And at a later point, I will read this again, only in Spanish. We'll see what that actually means. So you can join the chat room at pagesandcolor.com, where we have a gentleman that just got back from the rally for Clarence Ray Allen in San Francisco. And we have the Woman of Steel, who shall not be named, who's been banned from this radio station. All right. So the dial-in number is 427-3772. It's 7:30 p.m. This is Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. 427-3772. If you want to leave a message, you can call 427-4523. If you want to send mail to FRSC P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California 95061. And I guess I am going to play you some more Mandela while I queue up the Workers' Union album. All right, here we go. And if you want to call in, feel free to do so. All right, we just had a caller come in to remind me that there's a special date coming up. My birthday is January 21st, 1972. And what I got for my 21st birthday was the first Democratic president since pretty much I could remember, Bill Clinton. What I got for my, let's see now, 29th birthday was George W. Bush Jr., W. And so January 20th is Bush's inauguration anniversary, or whatever you want to actually call the event that... where he assumed the presidency, or reassumed the presidency. And the caller thought that, you know, maybe some people might want to organize a protest with regards to the legitimacy of the current regime. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can feel free to call in. Also, if you have anything else, feel free to call in. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to... some more Mandela while I muck around a little bit more. And then we'll have some more music. Workers' Union. All right. Here we go.
Hasim Bonanga. Hasim Bonanga Mandela Tina. La Pekona. La pefeli kona
Hasim bonanga
Mandela tina La pekona La pefeli kona
La paix la wa fe la kona ha o niti ye iwe na ye iwe na ye iwe na na we so fi la nini la si ya kona la si ya ha o niti ye iwe na ye iwe na ye iwe na na we so fi la nini la si ya kona la si ya kona
That was tracks 12, Mandela Mandiba, original score, and track 16, Esimbonanga Mandela, Johnny Clegg, and Savuka from Mandela, Son of Africa, Father of a Nation, The Essential Music of South Africa, the original soundtrack. And we have a caller. And then I'll have a PSA, or maybe we don't have a caller. All right. PSA, Santa Cruz County Homeless Action Partnership at United Way, 1220 41st Avenue, Wednesday, January 18th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is in the chat room. The agenda includes 2005 HUD funding results and Governor's Chronic Homelessness Initiative. Be there if you care. Courtesy of Linda LeMaster. If you want to find out more information, you can call me on my cell phone at 831-295-3917 and I'll relay the message, or hopefully the speaker will give me contact info in the chat room. All right. I'm going to give people 30 seconds to call in before I dial up the next album, which is going to take maybe about 10, 15 minutes and pretty much take us to the end of the show. All right. The dial-in number is 427-3772. Hello? Yes. Let me put you on the air. All right.
Hello?
We have a call.
On the air?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Okay.
And who is this?
This is John Kilking from the Human Rights Organization.
All right. Hello, John.
Yeah, I just went up to San Francisco today to check out the rally for Clarence Ray Allen that was happening up in front of the, I think it's the California State Building up there. It's right next to the City Hall in San Francisco. And they had some media there, like the various TV crews were there, and they had Crystal from the organizers who were putting on the event, and Barbara Becknell was there, and some other people were there. And found out a few things about Mr. Allen. First off, his Indian name is Running Bear, in case you want to know. And apparently, towards the end of the rally, they had some poetry that this guy who was publishing his publishing Mr. Allen's poetry in Italian for all the people in Italy to read, but I don't know if he's publishing it in the United States, but apparently they're reading it over in Italy.
That's fascinating how...
At the end of the rally.
Mm-hmm.
And also we found out that Mr. Allen has been attempting to get spiritual counseling from his tribe or from whoever, you know, in the Indian community is willing to give him counseling. And so far two of the spiritual counselors that have attempted to come into the prison have been denied entry, even though one of them at least regularly visits various Indians in prisons throughout California. He's been denied entry for in this particular case to see Mr. Allen. And the reason they gave was that he didn't have proper identification. I don't know, maybe he has an out-of-state driver's license or something. They said, oh, it's not proper identification, at least not this time. So that's what's happening with that. And I picked up a flyer about Kevin Cooper. Apparently there's still some things going on with his case. I haven't had time to read it yet, but if I get a chance, I'll either post a link to this whole thing, which may be on their website, or if it's not on their website, I'll post it on Pages in Color, the whole entire flyer. And so that's what's going on there. And the Human Rights Organization still meets every Saturday at 115 Coral Street, the Homeless Services Center, on Saturday at 145.
And when does it meet? When does it meet?
1:45 p.m. Saturday, every Saturday for the foreseeable future.
All right.
We skipped the holidays for a couple of holidays, but we're meeting again. And so that's what's going on with that.
All right.
All right, well,
thank you
later.
For calling in with the report.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, I think it's fascinating how, like, you know, if you really want to find out what's going on in the United States, you have to read international media. Because there's a lot of stuff that just isn't covered here for some strange reason. All right. Anyone else want to call in? It's 427-3772. If not, I'm going to fire up a record.
Of massive men and feminines with unlimited potential. Uninhibited mind state makes us esotech, connected through one common thread. No masculinity.
A gang of heaven sent, massive progressives with intent to take it one step beyond where most take it. The mold breaking, the structure reshaping, lively up the channel, dismantle and reprogram. Abstract concepts with an underlying medium. Go to sleep pondering, waking up concluding. Learning from all to acquire what it takes to attain success. From Bill Gates to Lord Finesse on the planet Jupiter, Portuguese love, Tina Marie. Look in my eyes, feel fire, desire within me. Myself and I, self, Lord and Master, wealth of mind, health of body, stealth of soul, and never fold. Hold it down for the hometown, Oakland, representative 2,858. Black flesh underestimated, quiet is kept, but never forget. Ambassador Buku, step into the highest frequency, known to man. Audio era pause, cleansing minds with endorphins. Conscious optimism, drug for the new meal. Live long, prospering through autonomy for real.
Here we are, there we were, pressure we under. My pop star will occur, when it does, don't budge, be strong. A millennium's theme song, live long and prosper.
Live
long as an oak and smoke and exercise. Get all the love you need and sex before you die. Set aside time to unwind on. A mental massage for the mind on. 5 out of 9, 9. Hello to double K. What's all a fuss about? We couldn't stop it anyway. Try to help your family today. We've always been able to adjust. And capable of trust when they be fooling us. With the third eye, pops get stirred and might boil. And it does get hot, the live remain loyal. Provided that we forever live on and prosper. Together we're strong, divided but weak, and they got you. And when they stake out, they watch it. And when they break in, no knocking. Rolling over time, dropping all the same. What you call a dirty game. You mellow out until you hear the kettle scream. It ain't a dream. Pressure cooking pot, better know when to stop. Many people found an escape through hip hop. If I'd have known, then would I? No, now I wouldn't have blown so much dough. I spent it slow, though I've enjoyed man from a boy, avoiding the traps and staying self-employed. Here we are, there we were, pressure we under. A pot stir will occur. When it does, don't budge, be strong. A millennium's theme song. Live long and prosper. Here we are, there we were, pressure we under. A pot stir will occur. When it does, don't budge, be strong. A millennium's theme song. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Find family. Whatever dark road you walk down, there'll be people who'll take you in, take care of you. Whether we agree with you or not, you're a part of us now. Always will be. Don't forget that.
I never will.
It goes on.
Time and look to the sky. Why?
me. The Lord is bothering me. Since birth it seems that he's been trying me. I'm feeling sorry for myself like I didn't do it. And ain't enough love coming from above. A chill still will make you soak up the pain. You can't escape, so it weakens your brain. And that's insane. My girlfriend's in the street, she tells I. I'm living in hell, a concrete lie. Why? Me, what I do to deserve. Being locked away like some birds. Once again, I'm shaking the plane. No more. Lord, wait, bring this world to a halt. Hold up.
All right, I'm looking at the SantaCruzIndieMedia.org and the photos from the city council meeting. There's some pretty good stuff there. Check it out. All right. I'm going to read the last portion of the Spanish language version of that last PSA about Walmart, or at least a portion of it, and then we're going to pretty much be wrapped up here. I got to go back and make a living. This has been Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, your guest host, Thomas Lovett, standing in for Robert Norris. www.freakradio.org, Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM. Got any final messages? You can call in at 427-3772. El verdadero asunto acerca de Walmart. My apologies if I can't pronounce Spanish well. I only took 4 years in high school. Un Walmart en Pajaro en Minza. Cientos de trabajos locales con union que venden al por menor y reciben una paga alta. De acuerdo a la oficina de estadísticas laborales, trabajadores de supermercados que pertenecen a uniones como Albertsons y Nob Hill hacen 30% más que en otros trabajos sin union. El último reporte de la compañía de Walmart mostró 48% del movimiento de personal. Walmart Plan de Salud para encubrir más de 600,000 empleados. Si Walmart no pruebe seguro a 48% de sus trabajadores, nuestros hospitales y salas de emergencia estarán en líneas de gente sin seguro. Walmart mata pequeños negocios locales de nuestro pueblo. De acuerdo a la Universidad Estatal de Iowa, un aumento de 3% en todas las ventas al por menor en pequeñas comunidades es luego seguido por una profunda reducción de ingresos en tiendas locales. Por ejemplo, lencería para niños y adultos disminuyó en un promedio de 44%, ferretería disminuyó en 31% y césped y jardinera perdió 26%. Walmart abusa inmigrantes y la ley. En marzo del 2005, Walmart acordó pagar 11 millones para resolver las acusaciones federales por usar trabajadores inmigrantes en sus tiendas. Desde 1997, las autoridades federales han cubierto los casos de por lo menos 250 inmigrantes indocumentados quienes fueron empleados por compañías de consejero y luego contratados por Walmart en 21 estados. Personas que trabajan durante la noche son constantemente encerradas en la tienda hasta la mañana siguiente. Walmart crea tráfico del infierno en Pajaro. Todavía no ha ofrecido una solución para remediar el peligroso cruce de Salinas Road, Route 1, camiones de centros de distribución entregando a Walmart va a hacer la vida de nuestros niños miserable. Reunión de Alianza Pajaro Primero, lunes 23-1, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pajaro Middle School, 250 Salinas Road en Pajaro. Pajaremos a Walmart de Destruir Watsonville y Condado de Monterrey del Norte. Ven a nuestra próxima reunión comunitaria y traje un amigo. Trae un snack para competir. Si puedes, por favor, ven aunque no puedes traer nada. 633-1869-11. All right, and that wraps it up. Thank you very much.
Good man, ain't much, honey, ain't much. to collect them in. They wear them like notches on a gun. Oh, honey, but I know better than that. I know that a woman